na 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 na.
Alright, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold. We are in studio today as a little day baseball taking place out at Kauffman Stadium. We're right back at camp on Friday as the Chiefs are off tomorrow. But so a nice little little reprieve from the 100 degree weather or so. It feels good in here, you know?
It feels
good in here. So we will obviously be back in St. Joe. Hope to see you guys on Friday. Vern takes over at noon today, his on deck show as the Royals continue their series against the Atlanta Braves. Bullpen day, Angel Serpa gets the start.
We'll talk about who didn't practice today and why we don't think it's a big deal here for just a couple of minutes. But first, there was just a white powder in the desk area in front of me. I would say that it was somewhat line-shaped. All I'm asking
in the studio?
Yes. I brushed it away. I'm just asking, what was the mysterious white powder?
Where's Dusty?
It was on Bob's side, in fairness.
I figured it was Dusty.
I'm just asking what this mysterious white powder was.
Did you take a sniff?
Protein shake. I did not. I don't just, believe it or not, I don't just sniff mysterious white powders and then just see what you get. I don't want to find out.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. Maybe a protein powder. Hard to say. I'm just letting you know there was white powder in a line shape in front of my area before I got here today. And I was just asking what it was. That's all. Just trying to figure it out.
It was weird. Cody was pulling out his credit card right after, too. He was trying to get it lined up even more. It was really weird.
Just trying to see.
I don't know why you're doing that.
It's a mystery.
It's bizarre.
At least on this end. Let's talk about the players who are missing for just a minute, because I'm just here to quell any real fear at the moment. No Xavier Worthy, no Hollywood Brown, and no Jawan Taylor practice today. Yesterday, when two of those guys left early, no Sky Moore, but whatever. So a couple of those guys, when they left yesterday, you and I warned from the beginning that because today was what they call a 10-10-10 practice, which is essentially a glorified stretch, and tomorrow was an off day, anybody who was feeling dinged up after three straight days of padded practice in 100-degree heat was going to get the day off. That's what I think this is. If they're going on Friday, we can revisit those conversations. But as of panicking today, Gold, just don't waste your time today. Save that energy for Friday in case they're not back in practice.
Right. I think Friday's when you definitely would say, okay, maybe it's a little bit more. Nobody should be concerned about any injury report today, based off of what you just described and the stretch that they're in at camp and based on the temps yesterday. The fact today is a shell practice and everything like that. And then tomorrow's an off day. If all of a sudden it's Friday and we find out that, you know, whether it's Sky Moore or Hollywood Brown, I think is obviously the name that everybody's most kind of focused in on, given his role on this team heading into 2025, that's when we can have more of a convo. But nobody's going to be all that worried about that status today, and I think practice will probably wrap up by 10:45 today, and we may hear from a couple people over in St. Joe anyway after practice. Andy spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him, but we'll let you know if there's anybody of note that speaks after practice. We'll bring some of that live to you here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, when we are in St. Joe, our training camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you.
I'm just looking at the text line's got a lot of different theories on it. But one just said, stop snitching. This show's been pro-snitch really from the beginning, haven't we? The second we entered the snitch line into the occasion, Gold, we've technically signed up for snitching, at least on this show. Let's get into the Royals a little bit. They have a day game today. The offense is performing what can only be described as significantly better over the last couple of weeks. Specifically, and I think this was put out by David Leske, 64 runs in their last 11 games, 113 runs in their last 23 games, which is good for 4.9 runs per game. That, if you did that over the course of a season, would make you the fourth best offense in baseball. So, like, just to give you some perspective on, well, is 4.9 runs per game good, and where would that rank? It would make you one of the best offenses in baseball, as it sits. Simply put, and I know that this is overstating and I'm not predicting this to be the case, if the offense plays like this the rest of the way and they've just found it, well, then they're going to the playoffs. Like, I genuinely think they're going to the playoffs if they maintain this level of offense the rest of the way. Do I think they can maintain this level of offense? I don't know, man. That feels like a stretch based on the previous 100 games I watched. And they're going to have to maintain that level of offense, at least if they're going to have the pitching trouble because of the injury stuff. JJ Piccolo yesterday said late August for him to start pitching. And I don't know if he meant pitching as in like starting for this team or just like physically throwing a baseball. So like they're just behind the eight ball in the starting stuff. But if they hit like this, I think they'll go to the playoffs. I just don't know that you can count on that goal. This could just be a hot stretch.
Yeah, it's promising. It's really promising to see. It's what they were missing. I think there was a couple hits in particular the last week or so they just weren't getting in the first half of the season. Last night, Kyle Isbell gets a 3-run double. That's in that spot in the sixth inning. At the time, it was a massive, massive hit, massive moment for them, and those were the moments they just weren't getting earlier on in the season. You know, a couple nights ago, or afternoon, I guess it would have been, you know, Jonathan India's walk-off hit. That was something that you just weren't getting a couple months ago and weeks ago consistently. So in the last few weeks, they're starting to get those hits. It's promising. I'm not going to sit here and suddenly believe that everything is fixed and this team is now going to make the postseason. I'm going to change the view on where things are trending. But if they can, for another week, show that, let's say it's not 4.9 runs per game, because that'd be the fourth best offense in baseball, by the way, as you pointed out during the stretch that they're on. But if you told me they suddenly are average offense and the pitching doesn't fall off a cliff, and you know, that's my biggest concern now based off of just the injuries that have really got them.
Yeah.
You know, they got Seth Lugo still. He pitched last night. They still have Noah Cameron, who's been awesome for them out of nowhere. They still have Michael Wacha, but Cole Reagans, as even JJ Piccolo mentioned, like hopefully by the end of August, but that's a month from now that they have to figure out. Rich Hill, we'll talk about him. He got DFA'd. So you're hopefully getting Michael Lorenzen back. Are you trading for someone outside the organization? When does the pitching become an issue for you on top of it? I would argue it kind of is in terms of depth. So yeah, it's a good sign. The reason why they're going to still be in it and in the mix is going to be because maybe the offense has figured some things out.
Yeah, I do think that they figured some things out. This has been the thing, my stance this year on this team, which is I don't think this is fundamentally a way worse team than last year's team. I think they're actually on par. I think it's equally as good as last year's team. They are not performing equally as well. You and I were having a conversation in the bullpen before where you had said, and I think we've agreed on this in baseball, there's not a fundamental difference really between like an 80-win ball club and like an 88-win team. It's just who played better. Talent-wise, there's not some chasm between these two teams, 80 and 88 wins. It's just, did you perform when your moment came? And for the first 90 to 100 games, the offense did not. It didn't show up at all for a huge chunk of the season. Because last year, as much as you can be like, Renfro and MJ were hitting for this team last year, and they weren't hitting well. Maybe slightly better than they were this year when, I don't know, MJ for a while had the batting average of around 100 or whatever, a little slightly below. So like but the talent is not fundamentally different. It's just, they have not performed to that expectation. Over the last 23 games, they're much closer to performing to that expectation, actually slightly above what I would expect out of them. But now I'm asking them what? To maintain that for another 50 consecutive games and not lose any ground in the pitching? That's tough. Other than the fact the bullpen might have gotten better with Hunter Harvey all of a sudden pitching for this team again. He looked okay last night.
No, he was supposed to be a big piece to the bullpen. We all know since they've acquired him last summer, unfortunately, the injuries have really limited his availability for the Royals organization. And this is his last year, you know, under team control. So whatever he provides, hopefully down the stretch, ends up being what you were hoping you were going to get when you acquire him as well. And I think the next couple weeks will be very telling, as we've been saying a lot, but you know, the Braves series wraps up and then you get a Blue Jays team who's one of the best teams in all of baseball. You go to Toronto, I believe, this weekend. And then you start to look down the stretch. There's the White Sox. I believe the Twins on the horizon as well. So there's some ease in the scheduling at some point, but right now when they've been playing NL teams, they've actually fared better. Can they take on a Blue Jays team and avoid the disastrous weekend and try to keep the momentum going?
Honestly, because
the
Blue Jays are one of the few series I'd say I'd take one out of three of.
Here's the thing. I agree, but I don't know if they're in a position where they need to win every single series the rest of the season to get to the playoffs. So maybe you're right, but they're in a spot where like to continue to show some life and put themselves in a position where the math actually works late in the year. I feel like, yeah, you got to avoid the sweep in Toronto this weekend. And frankly, you need to find a way. Can you steal one with a bullpen game today?
They're a little bit back to, yeah, because Angel Zerpa is starting today. They're back to the day game lineup before they get out of town, because this is the last game of a homestand. Fermin, Frazier, Tolbert, and Isbell is 6, 7, 8, and 9 today. So, and again, the other day when it was Tolbert in the lineup, and I was like, what the hell? I said, this team's either scoring
Tolbert's
0.
Tolbert's in the lineup. You know what?
Or 8 to 10.
Tolbert's in the lineup. Maybe today's the day where we put a few bucks on the inside the park home run
What
bet.
Can we get inside the park home
50
run?
50 to 1.
50 to 1? Okay, so who are the guys we think are capable of getting an inside the park
well,
home
Bobby.
Run? Garcia?
Bobby.
Bob Garcia, if you hit it just right.
Bobby.
Bobby for sure.
Tolbert
for sure.
That's in the list. That's it. That's it.
The other one would probably require an error. Maybe Isbell. He's a good base runner.
I mean,
Perez isn't getting around four bags.
Vinny's
no offense.
And Vinny's not either. So.
Man, I wanted Vinny to get the triple so bad last night.
Cycle.
Because the not the funniest, but like just the idea that they waited 40 years to get another cycle, and then it's Vinny, and he's got to get the triple to close it out. It just feels nice.
I mean, an inside the park home run off the local kid, Joey Wentz there. He's a Shawnee Mission East Lancer. Text line keeps texting.
A lot of local kids, it feels like, in the league right now.
Mizorowski with the Brewers.
Fairly local. I'm just hearing more lately. I don't know.
Do you think Vinny could have got the triple if the ball doesn't go over the fence when
Vinny
I don't know.
So you're saying like the one.
On that first one?
It was a ground rule double, and so I was thinking maybe he could have got there with the limp of Acuna.
If it caroms the right way, we're not an inside the park.
Right, no, triple. I'm talking about his triple for last night.
Triple, yeah, I mean, Bobby, sure. He's got two career triples, doesn't he?
I mean, he definitely wouldn't have been slowed.
He doesn't have any career triples.
He wouldn't have been slowed down by who was on the bases, that's for sure.
Because
Bobby was in front of him, so it's not like he would have been held up at second because the runner in front of him didn't have speed.
Vinny had two triples last year and one this year. So, you know, he has triples in his career, JT. So, sure, if the ball gets, you know, off the fence a certain way, yeah, he might have been standing on third.
913-586-7965. We are in studio today. People are asking about JT filling in. Drew called us today. We said, what are you calling us for? He was trying to help with something work-related, being a great producer, even though he's on vacation. His photos look awesome. But, JT, you're filling in, and people want us just to continue to find out what things you do and do not know when it comes to music and after yesterday's show.
After we learned that he's not who the Eagles were, the band.
Yeah.
Not the...
Someone says, did you hear the morning show impression of You Gold? I think it's appropriate you only do an impression of them. I have not heard it. I would have to hear it first. Is it saved in the system?
We don't fire back until fired upon.
We need an impression of me. Oh, I need context. Like, was it from a conversation last night at the Royals game? Was it something on the show? I don't know. What was the impression of? That changes my feeling about it.
Just a little heads up, out from practice due to inclement weather. Chiefs fans have been asked to leave training camp on Wednesday. For some reason, you were still up that way.
Boy, it's funny because I saw Sam McDowell's tweet from the Star. And just like without any context, this tweet is a funny one. The fans been told to leave Chiefs getaway practice. The team remains on the field. Like, why are they told? Like, just people were panicking in the replies and everything. Yeah, it's because of the weather.
That's like. Did you guys see? I think it was last week in Baltimore. They said all the fans need to leave and get under concourse, and they played the game still, so it looked like 2020 in COVID year.
It makes no sense most of the time.
Well, good thing we're not up there, Cody, because we would have been dealing with severe weather.
You know what?
Good call. Good call.
Royals Day game coming to the rescue. I'm just letting people know.
The impression was in reference to our action figures. A lot of people have commented. You got your figurine at a different time than mine, and so your figurine is bigger. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
those are the things we put up on the camera when we're up at camp.
So I was talking about if Eric Fisher tried taking your beer, Alex. Huh? I've never interacted with Eric Fisher in my life. I have no idea.
Nice guy.
Yeah, by all accounts, I no issue with Eric Fisher.
I need details
on why Eric Fisher was brought up in relation to me. I don't know.
I don't know.
Interesting.
We'll listen back to it and make a determination if Alex should be offended.
Yeah, there is none in the system like a quick little mockery of you, so I can't find anything.
Okay.
We will keep an eye out for it as the Royals offense continues to try to play well. I will say, we've been up at Chiefs camp quite a bit. We understand we do Camp Island. We're talking about the Camp Darlings. Tyquan Thornton got a toe tap video on the social media page. Rashard Smith continues to have some nice big plays, but not making the social media page, which is certainly not helping. I saw Jared Wiley made the social media yesterday.
Well, no, he didn't.
He didn't. Wait, Jed Whiteley's already been eliminated, and I'd like to get back on the island.
That's all this is. That's all this is for you.
He was on the Chiefs video social media yesterday.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. What was he doing? What happened in that video?
He was running a route.
Uh-huh.
And a ball was thrown towards him. And then that ball was intercepted by a member of the defense.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Is that the opposite? Is that a thing that would actually hurt me instead?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It might ensure he doesn't get back on the island.
But as we've continued to be there, talk to people who are covering the camp, one thing has stood out to me about the coverage. We have heard borderline crickets about the Chiefs pass rush so far. I got nothing on Aminihu. Nothing on Felix Anudike Uzama. Nothing on Chris Jones. Carl Loftus. By this time, normally, the only guy I think we've heard anything regular about so far is Omar Norman Lott. And usually when it comes to silence like this, you can take it one of two ways. It's kind of pick your poison. It is either a bad sign that these players are not winning their matchups very often, not getting pressure in these practices often enough to necessitate being like, wow, they are making things hard today for the offense. They're doing it. Or you can just take it as a no news is good news situation as it relates to the defensive line. But for a unit that I'm pretty worried about, as in other than the offensive line, I would say it's the second biggest position you should be watching going into the year, seeing how they were 20th in sacks last year. I think I'd like a little more buzz out of the defensive line in the sack game. Is that crazy?
I think the buzz at camp for linemen, and this is why it stood out for Norman Lott, typically you don't hear that until they're in a game, and you don't see it until they pop. And so, look, in relation to just Felix, we've talked about him at a great length already, and Nate Taylor even acknowledged it. Like, Felix seems like just a guy out there at this point in time. So I'm not judging the defensive line feel, look at camp based on what Felix is or isn't doing, because I don't think that is going to be the determining factor, neither do you, of what this D line is going to be.
No,
as far as like Charles Aminihu, yeah, like Charles Aminihu, you know, somebody that I think is in store for a big season because he's finally out of camp. He's not dealing with suspension. He's not dealing with injury or anything like that. During a preseason game, I just want to see more like Omar Norman Lott against an opponent. I want to see Aston Gelati against an opponent.
You want to see if somebody can get to the quarterback.
As far as Carl Loftus, I don't need to see anything from him. I think we kind of know what you're getting. Chris Jones, we know what we're getting. You know, it's more about
Gelati, Aminihu,
and Felix still.
Felix.
You know, Mike Dana, I would like to see, like, last year was not his best season,
no,
but he's been a very nice player for them. What is that look like? It's some of this is just the setting of training camp and the position that they play. Wide receivers, it's very easy to flash at training camp. You get Mahomes throws, you get a deep ball, and everyone, oh my gosh, look
even
how amazing,
it's a one-on-one,
look how amazing,
yeah,
he looks. A defensive lineman, you know, Omar Norman Lott has stood out as much as you possibly can, I think, given three padded practices and not a single preseason game.
You have to agree, though, that other than tackle, which all of a sudden we're feeling much better about, because Simmons looks like he's already won the job and that story is told. Defensive line had to be one of the bigger questions going into camp because this is a team that had finished top five 2 years in a row, then last year fell all the way back to 20th. And I think that happens to be a circumstance in which their defense struggled more than we're accustomed to seeing, especially in the secondary, especially in the big play game. And I'm not saying they were a bad defense last year. That's not it. It's just based on where they were offensively, they needed their defense to do it, and there were a few more cracks last year, I think largely because they couldn't get any pressure. And that hurt them in the Super Bowl, too. It is easy to point out the fact that the Chiefs had no offense in the Super Bowl because they couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. I'd like to point out that they got dominated on both damn sides of the line. They got absolutely fried on offensive line versus their defensive line, too. And they got no pressure. Chris Jones didn't get anywhere near anybody. George Karloftis didn't get near anybody. It was bad on both sides of the trenches. And so, if you're going to make that leap again, you do have to have somebody step forward. And look, to this point, Gelati's a rookie. You and I are very careful with rookies and what their expectations are. So it is, yeah, and the Dana or Felix or Aminihu, in my opinion, because he hasn't played nearly as much as those other guys. Sure, I don't need to pay attention to Chris Jones and Carl Loftus as much. I've got a stable number of where they're at. But Chris Jones is coming off a down year, too. At least statistically, he's still a great player.
No, the sacks were down. Yeah. I think anybody that watched last season knows there.
Chris Jones was still a monster.
And some of the metrics show that he was a problem for everybody that faced him. But yeah, I think given what he's getting paid, it's fair. Like, defensive linemen are usually judged upon sacks, but I think he made life easier for George Karloftis. And I'm still expecting Charles Menihue to be the guy that maybe middle of the season we're talking about, like, wow, okay, everybody's focused on Jones and Karloftis, but look at Charles Menihue. He's already got 5 sacks or something like that halfway through the season. Like, I think that is actually in play, even though you're right. Like, if there's a player on the defensive line that's gotten zero mention or just kind of out there, it's a Menihue, but he's a veteran. Like, how many veterans in anybody's training camp? Go anywhere in the NFL. How many veterans, other than the quarterback position, really stand out and become much of a conversation during camp? Usually it's for a negative reason if that happens. I mean, it's
the big star guys, you mostly let those go. But I will say they're going to, like, their pass rush had George Karloftis and Chris Jones last year and it wasn't any good. So, like, the ancillary players, the ones we're discussing, those are the ones that are going to have a much better year. That's also why in the second and third rounds they went defensive line and defensive line.
Sure.
The unit, and still have Dana, let one of their better pass rushers of last year, Turk Wharton, go on an already difficult to evaluate defensive line. And so, yeah, it's a unit that I want to watch in camp, but maybe you're right. Wait till I get to a first preseason game, see where we're at from there.
Tomorrow we have a preseason game too. You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
We got a Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game means Trey Lance is going to be starting for the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night.
A trade deadline might be heating up. The New York Yankees have made a pair of trades this morning. According to multiple reports, they've traded for outfielder Austin Slater from the Chicago White Sox and have also traded for right-hander Adrian Hauser from the Chicago White Sox. So, traded for a pair of players from White Sox. White Sox.
All right. Hauser would have been somebody, if you were looking to, you know, potentially get some help on the pitching front, like, not going to cost you much. You know, we were talking about veteran options and things like that. How old's Hauser? I think he would have been something to keep an eye on, but I don't think... for the Yankees' sake, I'm guessing their fan base won't view them as much moved to begin with. But yeah, Hauser's 32 years old.
It's no different than trading for like a Adam Frazier type, if you want to be honest. Mm-hmm. Not for Slater. Slater is a 32-year-old outfielder hitting .236 with a .299 on base. He's got a little bit of power, and he's only played in 51 games, I guess, this year. So maybe he's just coming back a little bit. But like overall, it's not like he's been some monster to go with it.
Yeah, we're a little over 24 hours away from the trade deadline. We'll probably start to the big names haven't fallen yet. Eumenio Suarez, obviously kind of the biggest name I would say that's out there. Even
how's having a great year.
Alcantara or whatever for the Marlins, he's pitched better as of late, so he's a name. You assume the Marlins will move him. They're not going to get as much as they would have thought because he's had a rough year, even though he's pitching better. So there's a couple guys that are out there. As far as the Royals go, I'm only expecting maybe there's a veteran pitcher to fill out the fifth spot in the rotation that they get into to help them. That's kind of all I think we're going to see at this point in time.
That's it? You're not anticipating the big move?
I'm just looking at like the roster on the where are you really doing much?
That makes sense in the bullpen. One of the few teams I would say who doesn't need essentially your acquisitions. Hunter Harvey coming back and is available to you. So, like, I just think
they need a starting pitcher.
A fifth starter.
Yeah, a starter. A Michael Lorenzen type. Another one.
In a weird way, them saying goodbye to folk hero Rich Hill yesterday, a.k.a. Dick Mountain.
The Dick Mountain era
is over. Does that mean that they are going for a starter if they're already willing to let him go? I don't see enough starters just hanging around ready to make starts for this team. Is that or Dallas Keuchel's getting ready to start in 4 days?
Yeah, and I thought there was a chance that was going to happen today. Honestly, it's a bullpen game, but I thought maybe today was the day where Dallas Keuchel would have had an opportunity. Now they owe him, I think, $2 million if they call him up. I don't remember if there's a certain date that they have to call him up by until he can move on somewhere else, you know, an opt-out date or whatever it is, clause that's in the contract. I'm not sure if that exists, but yeah, it's either calling up Dallas Keuchel or pulling off a trade in the next 24 hours or so, where you give up some random prospect, nobody of note, nobody's going to freak
Cervale
out.
Or some whoever. Other
yeah, that's the name that everybody keeps mentioning. But just somebody that is capable of filling out the rotation and providing you some innings the rest of the way. Rich Hill, the Dick Mountain era ending is sad. You know, it's really sad. I thought we were going to be able to talk about Rich Hill for a little while, but we had a fun 2 week run.
Quick correction, by the way, Robert Murray, who was reporting the Adrian Hauser trade, said that's not Adrian Hauser now, is not being traded.
What?
It was just Austin Slater. Apparently they didn't even get the good reliever.
Okay.
I don't know why he reported it. Maybe just got the names mixed up, but it's fine. Either way, Robert Murray, that's why I said it.
He's it's a different reliever. It's Gage Zeal. It's a different one.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds like a made-up
name. Gage Zeal is who the White Sox are getting back from the Yankees.
I will say.
That makes more sense, Cody.
I definitely thought that we were going to get a talk about Rich Hill longer. And I can't get over the fact that he is only 9 years younger than J.J. Piccolo, but, 20 years younger than, Jack Caglione. 22 years, 23 years younger than Jack Caglione or whatever the actual number is, because I don't know Jack's exact age, 22, I guess. It's just funny to me that that's the difference. I did think we'd get a little more time with Rich Hill, but I'll always appreciate the time we did have.
It's a hell of a two-week stretch, Rich Hill, in the rotation. Or a week and a half.
Well, in the couple weeks we got in the minors, you know?
He got his chance to continue to play Major League Baseball.
When you went to go watch the AAA team, I thought you were going to get to see Rich Hill. You missed him by a day, didn't you?
Yeah, Dusty and I were in Omaha to watch Cags, and Rich Hill had just arrived in Omaha, and I think he pitched the day before, the day after, something like that. And he got his opportunity. His first outing was fine. This last one, he obviously had issues with walks and looked like he was laboring out there. So they move on.
That's what he looked like come two nights ago. He was laboring with all those walks.
He looks tough.
It looks like he's pitched a lot, man. He's got big eye bags. He just looks like he's like a man who's tired.
He's 45 years old.
Tired from pitching.
He's 45.
Still loves it. Still out there grinding. One more team and he'll start the Major League.
Do you think he's going to sign with one more team just for the rest of the year to say he's got the most
I think
teams?
He showed enough to make a spot start for a team that trades away his starters and needs just like one dude to make one start.
Maybe for the Colorado Rockies or Pittsburgh Pirates or somebody that just, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah, or the White Sox if they trade all their guys away.
Yeah, because the White Sox.
Do you think they got enough footage to film the rookie two with the 2 weeks? Do you think Dennis Quaid is going to start? Is he be part of that as well or no?
What's the training montage look like for Rich Hill? Could he just play himself?
He should. Can he act a little bit?
I don't know.
You and I are still upset. We did not get called for Ted Lasso. I know they're in town filming right now.
I've seen him everywhere.
Yep, we did not get the callback.
Major League Baseball Museum. Casey Kurt, they were UMKC. They've been everywhere.
Yeah, did not get our opportunity.
So I'm still over in the movie search. At least you still got the. You'll always have the Hallmark movie gold. You'll always have the Hallmark movie.
Did you see the text line? They said it was elder abuse to have him out there in the heat.
That's what I felt like when Acuna put that ball 468 feet.
Yeah. All right, guys. Up next, let's talk about who is now showing up to training camp. What does it actually mean for the AFC? And we've been waiting a couple days to do it. We finally have time to talk about somebody's role in a movie. Next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, JT Noah producing the show. We knew there was a chance this was going to happen today. We're excited because we got a cool event coming to Kansas City. Also, it's not every day you get a chance to talk to a Pro Football Hall of Famer. We've got Terrell Owens calling into the show. He's going to be in Kansas City on August 8th at PickleCon for the Celebrity Pickleball Bash from 3 to 5 there at the KC Convention Center. Tickets available at celebritypickleballbash.com. T.O., great to have you on the show, man. We appreciate it. It's probably been a little while since you came to KC.
Yep. And it's Terrell, not Terrell. It's Terrell, guys.
My apologies. Absolutely. Terrell Owens joining us here. Yeah, we're excited to have you on the show, man. Pickleball, how did you get involved with that?
Oh, man, number one, I'm excited to be on you guys' show. And, started back late last year. Marcellus Wiley, who played for the San Diego Chargers. We both live out in L.A., and he holds a lot of events at his house, and he does some charitable and some philanthropic things surrounding some of the things that he does. And so pickleball is one of those. And so he has a lot of his former football, players and celebrity friends on kind of like speed dial. And so everybody has to kind of like, fill out this thing to come out and play pickleball. And he kept sending me these messages, text messages for like about 3 or 4 months asking me to come out and play pickleball. And then I just had to tell Marcellus, I'm like, Marcellus, I'm like, I've never played pickleball. I'm like, I'm not interested at this time. And then I'm like, and I said, plus I said, I don't even know what I'm doing. I said, I don't even have any pickleball equipment. I said, I don't have no racket, no paddle. I didn't even know what they were playing with. And so I had heard about it about probably like 10, 15 years ago. Matthew Hatchett, who's also a good friend of mine who played in the league, he had mentioned it to me. And long story short, he kept asking me to play, and he's like, man, just come out and just check it out and see if you like it. And so I'm like, all right, cool. So I went by, just like I said, late last year, went by Target, bought a couple of paddles. And I saw like all these different, brands of paddles like Selkirk, Yola, Franklin, Head. I'm like, I didn't know what I was getting. So I just got a couple of like the medium, kind of like middle of the range price paddles, about $90. And that's what I took over there and played a few hours, And everybody was like, well, how long have you been playing? I'm like, bro, this is like my first day. I'm like, I've never played. This is my first time. And I played about 3 or 4 hours there. Literally was like one of the last ones to leave. And everybody kept asking me, you know, how long I played, because he had like a wave of people coming in like every couple of hours to play. And so I stayed the entire time. And again, just trying to get adjusted to it, watching people play. And people kept asking me, how long have you been playing? I'm like, this is my first day. And they're like, no way. It's like, there's no way this is your first day. And one of the girls that's going to possibly be part of the weekend is Jenna Bandy. She's very talented female. Like, she does a lot of the male sports, probably better than some of the males. And so I know her as a good friend. And so we were leaving the property, and so her and one of her guy friends, and she was like, okay, you can tell us the truth. You've been playing for a while. Like, it's not your first day. And I'm like, I'm telling you, Jenna, this is my first day. And so they were, honestly, I guess they were impressed at kind of like my skills. But again, I was nowhere as good as I am now. So obviously there was some room for improvement for my skill set. So needless to say that I've gotten a lot better since last year. I don't even think I've had like 180 days of actually playing, but I'm close to that. To the point to where, like I said, I've taken lessons from pro guys here in Houston, a few pro guys and people that have obviously mastered the game of pickleball in L.A. And so, yeah, so this will be our second big major event with Celebrity Pickleball Bachelor, who I partnered with out of San Francisco, Ben Shapiro, and some other guys. And so, yeah, so I'm looking forward to coming to KC. Definitely, I think this will be a better showing than in February that we had at the All-Star weekend. My partner was Jesse Irvine, and I feel really bad because I feel like I let her down. I was very excited about where my skill set was at that particular time, knowing that she's a pro, being paired with a celebrity that literally had little to no skill at all. But yeah, I think I'll be ready, better prepared for this Celebrity Pickleball Bash and Pickleball and PickleCon come next week.
Do you let Andy Reid know you're going to be in town? That way you guys can get lunch or dinner or something?
I'm pretty sure by this time with all the radio, I'm pretty sure he already knows I'll be in town, but I'm pretty sure he has other fish to fry being in camp right now.
Do you remember what it was like to be in a camp with Andy? It feels like once football starts, getting him off of that focus is probably a challenge, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I remember my first camp. I think everybody remembers. my second camp with the Eagles. I got sent home. We had a little bit of a disagreement, and that's where the infamous sit-ups in the driveway came about. But yeah, Andy and I, we've kept in touch over the years since Philly. I thought I would have been close to probably 5 or 6 years back. I thought I had an opportunity to come back and play for Andy, but that never happened. I talked to the GM there, and I talked to him a couple of times, hoping that I would have gotten a little short stint to help them win a championship, but obviously they didn't need me. when you got Patty Mahomes, and then at that time they had Tyreek Hill and some other guys. But yeah, I mean, Andy's by far, like, everybody has asked me, like, who's your favorite coach? Who's my favorite team? Team that's kind of up in the air. I would definitely have to probably say, just with the success that I had, it probably had to be between probably like Philly and Dallas, just how I was utilized with my skill set, and it has nothing to do with any fan base or anything like that. It was just basically kind of like how I was utilized, from a receiver standpoint. And I think, those two teams utilized me, most, and I got the most out of my time there, even though it was a short stint in Philly. But everybody saw what I did with, obviously just a year and seven games going into that second season and reaching the Super Bowl the first year. So again, by far, like I said, Andy Reid, just being an offensive mind, and he knows how to put the right people, whether it's coaches and players, in the right places and positions to succeed. With all that success that he has, I said, I need to pick his brain and see if he knows how to help me with my pickleball game. So other than that, like I said, I know I'm being redundant, but yeah, by far, like I said, I wish I could have had one more run with Andy, but, you know, just understanding and seeing my production, you know, with him and his staff. Again, like I said, him being an offensive-minded guy, and as you saw what he did with Tyreek Hill, you know, I don't think Tyreek Hill would be Tyreek Hill if he didn't play under Andy Reid, to be quite honest.
T.O., somebody here in Kansas City now that gets talked a lot about, of course, is it getting close to the end for Travis Kelce? But he comes into camp this year, he looks quicker again, he looks like maybe he lost some weight, maybe he's in great shape, could be the last year for him. What have you seen, I guess, last year and the last couple of years? Do you believe he still has a lot of football left?
He probably does. I think if he's looking slim and quick, I think maybe him and Luka Doncic, maybe they've been on that pickleball program.
How about that? How about Luka? My goodness. Maybe,
right, exactly. Maybe they've been on that pickleball circuit. But, you know, obviously, like I said, Andy's going to take care of his guys. And if anybody knows how to get the best out of the guy, especially winding down, approaching like the last few years, Andy's going to do that. And, you know, obviously, like I said, you know, Travis, like I said, with the experience that he has, been in so many training camps, obviously, like I said, health is obviously a big key into your success. And so if he stays healthy, and like I said, if he's looking quicker, and I think as you get older and you get, you know, more years under your belt, you don't work harder, you work smarter. And so I think that may be the approach that Travis has taken. I know his trainer, Lawrence, there in LA. I've trained with him over the years. So I'm sure they've kind of dialed in and put a program together to where, like I said, to maximize the most if this is his last year, going into his last years of a play. So I definitely would have loved to have played with a guy like Travis. You know, playing in Philly, we had a guy named by the name of Chad Lewis, and then we had LJ Smith, who were kind of similar, very athletic, you know, being able to, you know, get through the middle, very smart players. So Travis is obviously going to go down as one of the greats at the tight end position.
When you look, the way you're talking, it's funny because the way you're talking about like him training and the pickleball court and all that other stuff, I'm just now starting to realize that you've got to be the guy somewhere on the court where they're like, hey, man, take it easy. We're just trying to have a little bit of fun every once in a while. Are you the overly competitive guy on the court too?
Yeah, I've had to kind of like, you know, it's pickleball, again, it's a community of people that play, and there's different levels and tiers and of level of play as well. So I've kind of had to dial it down a bit because, like I said, because of my approach to the game and mentally, like I'm really approaching it to become a professional pickleball player, not just to go out and just play for leisure. So that's been my goal, you know, since I started and really got inundated, just engulfed with the sport itself. So again, it's you got to kind of like, you know, depending on who you're playing with, you can't be too competitive. But again, like I said, if you're playing with the right people, they understand it. They love it. They embrace it. But yeah, I have realized just starting out to learn it probably like about 3-4 months ago, I had to kind of dial it down a little bit. Cause like I said, even I wasn't even where I was now, but just me trying to learn the game and really trying to embrace it and really become really good at it. Cause it's like, it's a really skillful game. It's a hand-eye coordinated game. It's a lot of feel. It's like a lot of touch, a lot of fundamentals to how you hit dinks, whether it's cross dinks, just the kind of the resets and things of that nature. So yeah, it's funny you asked that, but yeah, I'm very competitive. Like now, like I said, August 31st will be my first real APP tournament in Chicago. I'll be playing a mixed doubles with a friend of mine that I've been training with. Her name is Brittany Carr out in LA. And so with what we've been doing over the last few months or so, and just me practicing and training and drilling with her, I just like just one day I'm like, okay, well yeah, let's do a tournament. Because everybody's been asking me, because I've been on every pickleball court, every state that I've been in, and every place that I go, I find some pickleball court to either go play just to help my game or what have you. So, and everybody's been asking me, have you played any tournaments? Are you going to play in this tournament? Are you going to play in that tournament? And I'm like, no. I said, honestly, I don't want to play because, you know, there's an expectation with me being who I am, being a Hall of Famer. So they expect that when I go to the court. And if I'm not able to give them that, I didn't feel like I was ready to do that. So now I'm at the point to where, okay, I'm ready for my first, ready for my first real tournament. And, you know, everybody heard me say, get your popcorn ready. Now is get your pickleball ready.
Tio, we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on. We're looking forward to seeing you in Kansas City here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. I'll be ready. Like I said, I'll be ready for my pro partner and, everybody that's in, Kansas City, come out and check it out. Like I said, this is going to be hopefully at some point T.O., the pro pickleball player and not pro football player. Well, I'm not a football player anymore. I've already accomplished that, but now I'm trying. This is my next feat that I'm trying to accomplish. So, like I said, get your pickleball ready. T.O.'s coming to a pickleball court near you.
Love it. Appreciate it. There you go. Great to have him on the show here. Of course, coming up on August the 8th at PickleCon, Celebrity Pickleball Bash. That's at the KC Convention Center. Tickets available at celebritypicklebash.com. That's celebritypicklebash.com.
You and I were in a pickleball match last year.
We were.
At PickleCon. We took on Dana and Parks.
We did.
Over from KMBZ. In a win, I'd like to add. Yeah. We did get the dub. I did see, like, in addition to that, like, you know, like you can see the celebrities that are going to be playing, you know, like, hey, here's the people that are going to be playing in the game. Maybe some of the faces of PickleCon you might want to know. Did you see two people who are on there besides the, former MLB player Brad Penny or some pickleball pros and T.O. on that same list? Drew Nixon.
Yeah, and Mac.
And Mac Morey.
They're representing the station this year on coming up on, I think they're playing on the 9th or whatever.
Yeah, I believe they're playing on the 9th, but they'll be out.
Text line having some good fun. I will say this. I said his name that way all morning long. Nobody corrected me.
No, I didn't.
And be honest for a second. If you would have intro the interview, you would have called.
I probably would have said it.
Look,
here's the truth.
You would have said Terrell, you would have said Terrell as well, not Terrell.
I would have
apologies.
Said. I think
or
I would have said
T.O.
I said T.O. I said, is this T.O.?
So then after T.O., he corrected you, I'm like, how have I been saying it this whole time?
I know, and I apologize. Terrell? He should obviously want his name said correctly, so I totally get why he corrected. But I was like, son of a gun. Because
the look
almost,
on your face, like, damn it.
Yeah.
Just like immediately, like, I could have looked this up.
Yeah.
And some of it is just like, we thought there was like a 50-50 chance.
We didn't, yeah.
T.O. was coming on the show.
We appreciate him calling
maybe
in,
less.
Though. We appreciate you calling in. And it's going to be cool to have him in Kansas City. But
so you call him back in?
But also, it's kind of interesting, too. The text
I bet
line.
He's good
the
at
text,
pickleball, man.
Oh, yeah.
Height,
for
athleticism.
For sure.
Like, I bet he's going to be good. But glad to have him on. You're right. Unfortunately. Yeah, no, after that.
PickleCon is, we actually did
it's a great time.
Of fun out there. But text line, people, a lot of them wondering about, the Andy Reid aspect, too, in his time. He spoke very highly about Andy Reid. And there were reports way back.
He wanted to come back.
That
he talked to Veach.
And he said he talked to the GM at the time.
That was scary. I was like, oh, did we mess up? But he was like, we got disconnected. I was like, oh, no, we're good. We're good if you're good. And he goes, oh, awesome, man. Thanks for doing. I was like, awesome. Okay.
Oh, he didn't know we wrapped it up. Okay.
Oh, I thought
he called back in.
That's fine.
Mean, look, we
T.O.? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, luckily I said T.O. He goes, hey, this is T.O. I go, awesome, T.O. Hey, I'll put you on hold. I didn't say
honestly,
his name.
It'd have been way better if you had said it wrong and you could help Gold out.
Well, yeah, I know, yeah.
Someone says, I like the fact that he corrected you and then you just moved into talking about pickleball. Well, that's all you can do at that point in time.
Yeah, what are you supposed to be like?
Dude, the deepest apologies.
Yeah,
the deepest.
Someone says it reminded him of the whole Marquez Valdemar.
I'm sorry. We played that clip. Wait, hey, can you isolate it? Can we just hear what Alex said right after? He just said, I'm sorry.
I said, I'm sorry, but you're going to be in Kansas City. I tried to move on very quickly.
Smart. If you could get that for us, JT, I just want to hear the isolated part of when he says Terrell versus Terrell, and just so we can see like Gold's transition. I thought it was a smooth transition. Honestly.
I tried, and deep down inside, I was like,
you were dead a little.
Son of a. Not on
so,
him.
You
fault,
want you
but.
want Terrell doing his thing?
I want him introducing it, and then T.O.'s reaction and then Alex's very quick after. So, like, maybe like a 15-second or just like, it didn't even have to be Alex introducing him. Him just saying, yeah. It's Terrell, not, you know, like, and then yeah. Alex's reaction. That's all I need.
Yep. And it's Terrell, not Terrell. It's Terrell, guys.
My apologies. Absolutely. Terrell always joined us here. Yeah, we're excited to have you on the show, man.
My apologies. Absolutely. Also, he said, guys, leave me out of it. But I might have gotten it wrong.
Again, this is one of
I don't want to be a team on this. Oh, no, I didn't correct you all.
I will.
And I would. I might have said. I might have said it wrong too this morning.
I have to own that one, but I will admit, if Cody was introing the interview, you would have pronounced the name the same way. All morning, we were saying the name out loud. Not a single person in the building corrected me.
Someone says, I had secondhand embarrassment for
He is one of those players, I swear, like in his play, because obviously, I mean, this guy is third all time still in receiving yards and touchdowns in NFL history. I mean, incredible.
It's hard to put in perspective just how good of a player he was.
Incredible. I swear, when he was playing, I think a lot of people probably just called him.
Yeah, I don't. That's in Terrell, my head.
Now I'm messing it up again. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's how it sounds in
Someone
my head.
Someone says, Cody, it's pronounced Eberflus. There's a few names that'll get you. You know,
Eberflus. Yeah.
You're on the air for 20 hours a week. There's a few names that'll get you. But that's fine.
I wasn't even pronouncing Luke Maley's name right like a week ago.
Wow. I mean, one guy's a Hall of Famer. That's we should have done better.
Terrell.
We should have done better.
In fairness, I really I just kind of thought maybe he wasn't coming on today. And so I was like, I'll do the research. You know, we wrote questions, but you know, outside of that.
Oh goodness.
Man, that's so funny.
Someone said, how are you guys having T.O. without...
Someone says, we expect that out of Cody, not you.
Yeah. Gold. Look, deep inside when it happened, it hurt. Like, I got stabbed inside when it happened.
You're just like...
Yeah, I saw your face turn white. You're like, oh.
Oh, it's a bad feeling. Because we've all screwed something up where... Because, like, honest to God, to this moment, even though it's not an important... Like, it wasn't important players. When I was very early in this industry, I was covering my very first ever spring training. And I wish I can't remember the name of the player now. This is what's worse. A guy who I thought looked like Ray Sanchez was sitting at Ray Sanchez's locker, and I went up to him. So he's like, "I'm
Did
not."
You start doing the interview.
Yes.
Oh.
And he's like, "I'm not Ray Sanchez." I'm like, "This is the worst moment of my life. This is the worst moment of my life. Why were you sitting by his locker? You could just be sitting at yours. Are you guys doing this to mess with me?" And it's a bad feeling. But whatever. It was good to talk to T.O. Glad to hear that he was close to signing with the Chiefs. Kind of excited to watch to see how good he is at pickleball, honestly.
I'll tell you that. He's definitely taking it seriously. I mean, my goodness, he's locked in. He's out for blood. So there you go.
Somebody's talking about all the other names that could have been wrong over the years, like Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, people on the East Coast say Mario. That's just like an East Coast thing. It's Mario, but people on the East Coast, well, even like we were talking about Mario and Peach. If we were on the East Coast doing radio, people would have been saying Mario.
That's not their
name.
People
would have said Mario Kart. It's Mario Kart, but people on the East
people
Coast
say Mario.
Mario
Kart?
On the East, it's an East Coast thing.
Get out of here.
I know.
That's not his name.
It's an East Coast thing.
His name is Mario.
Mario.
Mario?
I trust me, on the East Coast, people say it like that. I don't know why. Okay. Tournament, instead of tournament, the tournament.
But at least that is, like, I can like... Pronunciations for like that versus someone's name. You pronounce your name. That's a
The name's pronounced however you want your name to be pronounced. Like it can be spelled however you want.
Maybe we haven't had a problem because our names are the easiest to pronounce of all time.
It's very
Nobody's messing
simple.
Up Cody Tapp.
Well, just
or
Cody
Alex
and Alex.
Gold.
Very simple.
Yeah.
JT. Easy enough.
What's JT stand for?
Jonathan Thomas.
Okay.
So my parents gave me two
first names.
And
he was only
one
T away from being JTT. He's so close. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. What's your middle name?
Alan. When I get so when the fiance gets mad, she calls me J-Tan. She's like, shush, J-Tan. I'm like, really?
Did you go by JT your whole life?
Yeah, I've gone by JT my whole life.
Okay. Now people just...
Now you're familiar with Justin Timberlake, right? After yes. Okay, just making sure, JT. Just making sure.
Come on, have you not seen the mockery
if you
of
listen,
he's
If you listen to the show yesterday, you know exactly what we're talking about. All right, up next, let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. We were going to talk a little bit about something that is officially now sold out. Plus, we're reporting who is back at training camp for the first time for a certain team. We'll get to that next.